We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Last week, we were not able to visit with Mike Gorman, the play-by-play announcer for the Boston Celtics on Fox Sports Net New England, because he was under the weather. We're happy to report that he is hale and hearty, or at least hale. Mike Gorman joins us again. Hello, Michael.
I'll go for hale.
That's good enough, right?
Yeah. Hale's about all I got going right now.
You feeling better?
Yeah. You know, it's that kind of mid-year thing when you travel on a lot of airplanes with a bunch of guys that no matter how many flu shots or whatever you get, there's always something that's kind of being passed around. So, just life on the road more than anything else.
Mike, I know we're here to talk to you about the Celtics, but I'm just wondering from a different perspective, as the Patriots were going on their run, were any of the Celtics players or coaches paying attention to it and talking about it?
Oh, yeah, they all were. Doc is a huge fan of Belichick's. And Doc and I have similar beliefs in it. I know some people think that, if you're with one team, you kind of want all the other teams in town to lose so that the focus of attention is on you. I don't think that really works. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think the more successful teams are, the better fans are in general, the better mood fans are in general. So, I was pulling pretty hard for the Patriots. I know Doc was. And obviously, when they got against the Bears, he might have had a different tune. But until they played the Bears, Doc's a big Patriots fan. And, yeah, we talked about it a lot on the plane. We talked about the games. The guys are pretty into it.
Mike, do you know if Doc has ever met Bill Belichick?
That's a good question. I think he has. I couldn't swear to it. I think he has. I know he has a tremendous amount of respect for Bill and a tremendous amount of respect for the operation and the way the Patriots handle themselves as a team and is constantly using the Patriots as a motivational tool with the Celtics.
You know, it's funny, you were talking about Doc, and we were discussing this in the last day or so. As the injuries have piled up and the season has gone further south, the irony in this town is that there's less and less complaining about Doc Rivers and the job he's doing coaching this team.
Yeah, and I think the job he's doing coaching the team actually is turning out to be very, very good. Believe me, and Dale, I know you can identify with this as a play-by-play guy. It can be really tough to do a team that's lost 14 or 16 games. Yet this bunch of kids, they get down 20, they make these runs, they play hard. I've been in this seat when the Celtics were bad and had no future back in the early 90s, and you look down at the roster and you said, with the exception of maybe Antoine Walker, wow, there's nothing here. We're not going anywhere for a long time. Now you look at this roster and you see Jefferson, you see Green, you see Rondo, Michael finally starting to get some meaningful minutes, and, there's reason to be excited, and it's not just hype because, I mean, again, these guys I looked at this morning when I was doing some work for tonight's game. But they're in the top three in the league in games that have been decided by 5 points or less. So they're remarkably competitive given all the injuries that they've had.
Mike, hey, look, when Paul Pierce goes out, obviously somebody's going to have to replace those points, and you're going to play the game. Somebody's going to get 15 points. Somebody's going to get 20 points.
Right.
I'm wondering, since we've seen Gerald Green have some big games and since we've seen Al Jefferson have some big games, which one of these guys, which player on the roster can we count on as being a real contributor when Paul Pierce comes back? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some of these numbers could be flukes, but which guys aren't flukes?
Yeah, that's a great observation, Michael, because somebody's got to get points. You know, even if you lose 90 to 70, somebody got those 70. And it's just a question of whether or not they were meaningful and especially long-term meaningful. Unfortunately, I think the answer to your question was the guy who I thought had the most meaningful statistics was Tony Allen. I thought Tony had just turned this remarkable corner and looked like he was going to be the guy we all thought he was going to be 2 years ago. And it wasn't like he just looked like it in one or two or three games. He had put together like 10, 15 games in a row where I thought his lump numbers were very legitimate. Al's numbers I also think are legitimate because you can't fake rebounds. Somebody may be able to get points, but what Al now, again, looking at some stuff that I was doing for tonight's game, since December 9th, Al now is fifth in the league in double-doubles. And the names that he's in there with are Garnett, Boozer, Nash, Howard. So, I mean, he's in some nice company there. So I think Al's numbers are legit. Gerald, I wouldn't get too excited about right now in terms of his numbers. It's been kind of a roller coaster for Gerald. He has some nights that you say, okay, there's the guy we think long-term can be a big-time scorer. And then he has some nights that he just looks like a 20-year-old, which is really what he is. And that's not meant to knock Gerald. That's just a fact of the matter. So if there was one guy whose numbers I might be a little suspicious of, it would be Gerald's. I think Al's are legit, and I think Tony's were very legit, but that's just a huge question mark now. I mean, he's gone for the better part of a year.
I heard a quote from Doc after the San Antonio loss, and he talked about how hard the team was working and how, you know, he just wishes he could push a button, do something to get a win for them, you know, to reward the effort that's going into this. And I think he really refers to a larger point, which is how long can you expect these guys to keep going out there and killing themselves and not getting the reward at the end of the night for it?
Well, I guess my answer, I guess I'm old school on this, but my answer is every night.
Yeah, you're getting paid, right?
Exactly. You know, you're getting paid very, very good money. You're young. You have no reason to say, like, oh, gee, we can't do this. I would be very disappointed if we get to a point that there is a letdown. Now, I do think just purely from a psychological point of view, every once in a while you've got to get a win just so you can walk out of the building with your head up and not just trying to find some moral victory or listen to coaches say, yeah, but long-term you're going to be better off for this. You got to occasionally get a win, but at the same time, I would be very disappointed if I suddenly saw the effort go away.
Well, Mike, the Celtics have essentially played half of their games already. Mm-hmm. They've lost eight
games. We're not going to make the number, Mike.
Oh, I know. I'm not. You know what, Mike? I'm not even going to bring that up because we have extenuating circumstances. You got to put an asterisk next to your prediction because you had no idea that Paul Pierce would be out, and that's where I'm going. Paul Pierce is out. They played half of their games. Is there any chance that the Celtics say, wait a minute, we're really not going anywhere this year. We know what Paul Pierce can do. Let's just shut him down for the season.
Well, I think there is a chance the Celtics will say that if the medical evidence leads them in that direction. You know, there's absolutely no reason on earth to rush Paul Pierce back. Any long-term damage that potentially gets done to Paul Pierce would set this franchise back 3-4 years. And everybody in the Celtics organization is well aware of that. So, you know, until such time as they look at x-rays on Paul's foot or MRIs or whatever it is they look at, and they are absolutely convinced that he is fine and there's no reason he shouldn't be playing, I don't think we see Paul come back. And again, if I'm, you know, if Wicker suddenly appoints me the guy who's in charge, I mean, I'm really dragging my feet on bringing Paul back because it's just, there really is no upside to rushing him back and potentially risking long-term injury. We've all seen what stress fractures can do to guys' careers, and especially when you're a player like Paul Pierce who depends so much on movement. If we don't see Paul until March or April, that wouldn't surprise me.
Mike, you don't have to name names here, but as you're around the Celtics and traveling with them and watching their games and broadcasting their games, have you heard whispers or has anyone pulled you aside and said, you know what, losing eight games in a row ain't such a bad thing. We're getting ourselves in position to either draft Greg Oden or Durant or the right kid from North Carolina. This may not be the worst losing streak in the world.
No, I haven't heard people say that, but I think anybody would tell you that is in the back of people's minds. It seems like a fact in the NBA that it is very, very difficult to reload if you're constantly drafting somewhere between like 7 and 13 and 7 and 14. You know, you really need to make that dip down into the top three to get a stud, to get a Dwight Howard, for instance. And, you know, there appear to be two consensus guys out this year in Oden and Durant, and then guys like Noah and Horford and other people are not considered too far behind. So if you can be somewhere in the top five, I think you can probably get yourself a player who comes in and contribute. And I think if you're the Celtics, and, you know, again, I mean, I'm talking as a Celtic fan here now and not management making these calls, but if you're a Celtic fan and you sit back a little bit and you say, gee, if, you know, Pierce comes back, he gets a good rest here and this foot thing clears up and he comes back and Tony Allen's able to come back and Jefferson and Green suddenly and Rondo suddenly have 35, 40 games under their belt and you throw – Kevin Durant in that mix and you throw Al Horford in that mix, all of a sudden next year the Celtics would be a team that could make a leap up to 46, 48 wins quickly. So, yeah, I think it's in the back of the mind. I haven't heard anybody kind of speculate. It's pretty early, Mike. I mean, we got we're not even to the halfway mark in the season yet, so it's pretty early to start talking about reverse games. Like tonight could be a reverse game against Atlanta. Do you cut off your nose to spite your face to beat Atlanta tonight?
Steve Volpett had an interesting piece in the Herald today, and quite honestly, I think it's a tribute to the Celtics fans. When you look at the fact that at 4-15, on a pace for the worst home record in the history of the Celtics, and yet playing to 89.6% of capacity, averaging almost 17,000 people a night, I'm wondering what's keeping people coming back every night.
You know, I think it is, Dale. I think it's just as simple as they like these guys. You know, I think people like Al Jefferson, and there's a lot to like there. He's a good kid. I mean, he hasn't gotten any trouble in the time he's been in Boston. He's very personable when you see him on interviews. He does all the right things. Rondo's a good kid. Gerald Green is, I hate to keep using the same movie analogy, Mike, but I mean, he's like our almost famous kid. He's like a teenager who just happens to be along for the ride. So I think they're just a likable bunch, number one. And number two is if you sat through that point that they got down 23 in the third quarter against San Antonio, you got your money's worth for about 10 or 15 minutes where all of a sudden they start scrambling and they start pressing and they start turning people over and you have something to yell about. Again, I just find this a very, very likable bunch of guys. You know, that the Celtics a few years ago said that they were going to make character an issue, and they did. And they've got a good bunch of guys right now. Now they just have to turn it into wins.
Mike, I think Danny Ainge had the right idea last June when he's looking at the draft and he decides to move that first-round pick. Because if you look at the draft picks now, you look at the Rookie of the Year candidates, you don't have a lot to choose from. Guys aren't really playing well, not the best rookie class the NBA has seen. But he did use that pick to acquire Sebastian Telfair. What is the deal with this guy? Now he's third on the depth chart. What's his problem?
Well, I think his problem is that he's got to become a better defensive player to be a guy who's out there all the time. And I think he's got to get more of a point guard mentality in terms of making other people better. You know, Sebastian has shown in the time that he's been in Boston that he can score and that he is a better shooter than people gave him credit for coming in. He also has not been the best defensive player amongst West, Rondo, and himself. And, you know, he hasn't really, you know, you'd like to look down and see that he's averaging like 7 assists a game, and that's really not the case. So, you know, I think Sebastian has to kind of regroup a little bit. I think he's trying to. I think people tell me he's working very hard to do the things that he's supposed to do, but we are talking about a kid who probably, until Nate McMillan got a hold of him last year, had never been asked to play defense in his life, and now he's been being asked to play both ends of the floor. It's a difficult adjustment, and he's not a big guy, Mike, as you know. He's probably 5'10", 5'11".
Celtics at home tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. You'll hear Mike along with Tommy Heinsohn. 7:30 is when they tip things off tonight on Fox Sports Net New England. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Good to speak with you.
See you, Mike.
See you.
Mike Gorman joining us, as he does each and every week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.